the Rugby Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Union Podcast as we look ahead to the penultimate round of fixtures in this year's Six Nations. It's a very tight state of affairs at the top of the championship, but thankfully I'm joined by former England prop forward and a man in the know, Jeff Probyn, as we delve into all the best betting opportunities for this weekend's three important ties. Jeff, if anything, the last round of results kind of only worked to muddy the waters with regards to who's actually going to emerge as champions. I think more questions were raised than answered.
Well, it certainly were, and although we were, I've got to hold my hand up and say I got it wrong, particularly the French versus Wales. But the reality of the big win for the Welsh over the French side has thrown the championship open. We were talking 2 weeks ago about that being the deciding weekend and whether or not one of the teams would go through, whether Ireland would be on the way to a Grand Slam or whatever. But Wales turned their season around with that massive win, 27 points to
just six.
Six against the French. And it's all to play for. You know, we'll probably make the same mistake this week of saying that there'll be a decider coming out this week. But I think it will all go down to that last weekend and points.
It's certainly an exciting final two weekend that we have in store. As it stands at the moment, you've got four sides currently sat on 4 points. Obviously, England, Ireland, Wales and France all having lost one game and won the rest. The first game of the weekend then, we've got Ireland hosting Italy. And whilst last weekend there was a bit of a shock where Italy managed to win 22-15 in Rome, it's got to be a case of how far, Jeff, surely, rather than who wins.
I think it will be. The fact is that the Italians have not got Sergio Parisi playing for them either. He's being rested, brackets. He's got a slight injury, but he could have played, but they're resting him for the England game, which will be played next week in Rome. So this Italian side lack one of their key weapons, and they're going to Ireland. And the Irish, despite rumours that they were going to rest a lot of players, have actually put out one of their strongest sides, and the strongest side that they possibly could, given injuries. So it's really Ireland are looking to build a points margin against the Italians, and you know the Italians had a very, very good showing against the Welsh, but fell apart a little bit against the French. So we've got to say that this is going to be as you say, how many will Ireland score? I think it'll be around about the 20-point margin. And I think that without that experience of Sergio Parisi being in that Italian side to calm things when the Irish inevitably score a couple of early breakaway tries, we could see a cricket score going in here.
Yeah, I have to agree. You mentioned points difference there. Of course, the championship decided on it last year quite painfully for England fans. If we run through the top of the championship at the moment, it is actually the Irish who have the best points difference at the moment. They have a plus 42 difference. Then it's England on plus six and Wales and France on plus six and plus one respectively. So a big commanding win for the Irish this weekend, you know, would probably flick the pressure onto England for the Sunday. So I think points are going to be very important there. And as a result, we're looking at the handicap betting because I think we kind of think the outright betting could be a bit of a foregone conclusion here. The bookmakers certainly think so. 1-50, Ireland are priced up at 33-1 the draw, 12-1 Italy. The handicap spread, Jeff, is 24 points. You get an even money for Ireland with a 24-point handicap. You said about 20 points. Do you think you could spread it to maybe 25?
Well, I think we could, but, you know, in a way we're doing a little bit of a disservice to the Italians. It has to be said that they have performed, in all their games, they've performed reasonably well. Certainly against the Welsh in Cardiff, it was a surprise performance from both teams. And so, from that point of view, it's probably a bit, we're underestimating what the Italians will do and how they will play. I say I think it'll be 20 points, but I don't think it'll be that many more, to be honest with you. It might even be slightly less. I expect the Italians to put up a vigorous defence, but I expect them to lose by that sort of margin. Maybe, okay, we could probably push it to 25 if we really go for it, but the Italians won't capitulate. It's just the fact that they're missing their star man, the man who makes Italy tick, in Sergio Parisi. And so we're looking at their side, but they've still got some skilled players. I mean, they've still got Thomas Domingo playing for them. They've still got... Oh, what am I talking about? I'm going the wrong way down.
Yeah, so you're talking about the wrong side there.
Yeah.
So it is an impressive enough front row. You know, you look at the likes of Martin Castro Giovanni.
That's what I was going to say. Castro Giovanni, who's going to break the record for the most caps for an Italian player. He's going to get 106 caps. So there's 106 caps worth of experience there. They've got Gori. They've still got Bortolami, the experienced second row. They've brought in Barbary, who's four per age, and he has played in Six Nations games before. So it's not an inexperienced Italian side. I don't see this being an 80-90 point win by the Irish. I think 20 is generous. That's what it's going to be. Remember, the Irish will be keen to score points, but they've got to be careful of not being over keen.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think you're right. I don't have an issue with the experience, particularly in the tight five. I think that the back row, though, I mean, as you mentioned, Paul Derbyshire comes in at seven. You've moved Barbieri to eight in place of Sergio Parisse. And it's Joshua Furner who moved to six. I think that's the issue for me, because, I mean, Ireland, even without arguably the best player so far in 2014, Omani, their back row still looks pretty imperious. You know, Ian Henderson is the man who's come in, but then Chris Henry has been superb, and JV he's as well. If you're not so keen on the minus 24 handicap about Ireland, you did mention that you fancy them to perhaps get a couple of breakaway tries. How about that the Irish start quite strong? You can get them on a first half handicap of minus 11 points. So that's to be leading by 12 or more points at half time. That's 10 to 11 for that bet, Jeff.
I think that's a good bet. I think the Irish will dominate the first half, and the Italians will kind of, should we say, resurrect themselves a little bit for the second half. I mean, they've got some good players on the bench. They've put Gori on the bench as well. The Italians seem to be looking at this Ireland game as a chance to rest some players in preparation for a final push next week. But they won't want to be humiliated this week. You know, they will want to put in a performance. And if it comes to half-time and the Irish side are winning by 11 to 15 points, the Italians will put their better players on the field to try and stem the tide.
Fair enough. We do have also full tri-scorer markets now available and priced up. Unsurprisingly, all the favourites will be wearing green this weekend. You've got Andrew Trimble is a 10-11 favourite. Dave Kearney at 11-10. So your two Irish wingers then. Then Rob Kearney, of course, scored last weekend the only try for Ireland. He's 5-4. Brian O'Driscoll 6-4. 9-4. Jamie Heaslip and bigger the rest. And on the flip side of the coin, it is Angelo Espetito who is the favourite for Italy as an anytime try scorer, followed by Leonardo Sarto, Luke McLean, and Michele Campagnaro leading the markets there. Is there anyone that you fancy on either side, particularly to get over the whitewash and touchdown this weekend, Jeff?
Well, I think that you've got to look at Rob Kearney again because of the back line that the Irish have got. They've got a very experienced back line out there. And Kearney is very good as an attacking fullback who would join the line and take the inside shoulder off of the Brian O'Driscolls and off of Trimble's and back up that play. I'd look also at Henry and Henderson for the simple reason that they follow that line. And as you say, they are one of the best back rows that have been playing in this championship so far. And if the Irish are running wild, their back row will also be on the scoreboard. So it's worthwhile, I think, to put a little bit of money on Henry and, and go with that. As the open side flanker, he's going to be the guy that's going to be out wide following the wingers and following off the centres and picking up the loose bits.
Yeah, and Ireland have established quite a few points through their kind of driving mauls this campaign so far. So Chris Henry and Ian Henderson. Chris Henry's priced up at 7-2, the Ulsterman, and Ian Henderson is 100-30 in the betting. So there is certainly rewards in looking outside the market principles.
Then you mentioning about the front row, about the driving maul. Let's go for a Rory Best. Come on, there's one.
There is 4-1 about the front row forward.
Well, the back of those mauls, there's always a hooker with the ball, and that line out, that he throws the ball in that line out, they set up that driving maul, and he slips in the back and holds the ball, and if Ireland get that drive on, that's the man who's going to score.
So to summarise then, we're not looking at further than an Irish win this weekend, but you think perhaps around about the 20-point mark. So you'd maybe look at Italy on the handicap, but a strong first half for Ireland. So a first half handicap and a couple of try scorers, Jeff, just to repeat.
Rory Best, let's go with him, and Henry. They're the ones that I think from the forwards who score. In the backs, Rob Carney.
Brilliant. OK, so we'll move on to the second game of the weekend, and it is another one that I don't think is anywhere near as one-sided, but the bookmakers certainly have a clear favourite again in the second of the weekend's tie as France travel to Scotland and Murrayfield. It's 5-2 for Scotland, 20-1 your favourite, the draw, and 1-3 for France. If France are as poor as they were against Wales and Scotland build on that, you know, the last second drop goal that they got against Italy from Duncan Weir, which lifted the side, and add to that the fact that Scott Johnson seems to have actually picked his stronger side, Kelly Brown back in the team, apparently the Murrayfield pitch suits him or something, I'm not quite sure about, but do Scotland have an outside chance here, Jeff?
No, I think if all those things happen, Scotland will only lose by about 8 points.
Well, there you go.
The reality is that in the last 15 matches that Scotland have played against France, they've lost 14 of them. And the last win coming in 2006, and that was at Murrayfield. This is not auguring well for the Scots, despite the fact that France are in all sorts of disarray and they've made seven changes for this game. The seven changes they've made have actually made France stronger. And as such, I expect France to really answer their critics after last week's, 2 weeks ago, the dismal performance they put in. So this is going to be, I feel sorry in a way for Scotland, because I think they're going to do what they always do. They're going to turn up. They're going to play with a lot of courage, a lot of heart. But I think that unfortunately the French are just a bit too good to them. And unfortunately for the Scots, the weather's changed and it looks like it might be dry.
Yeah, that wouldn't suit. Obviously, I think the French certainly out wide. You look at the back line and it really is some impressive stuff. Bryce Doolan, who was talked about, 15, Yon Huguet on the wing, maybe Bastereau, and I think it's Maxime Mermoz actually in the centre this week, and Medard.
He's not a bad player.
Oh, by no stretch, of course.
You know, you may have lost the Fofana, who's probably one of the iconic players at the moment, and the guy like Israel Folau for the Australians, and Fofana is very much in that vein. But Maxime is not a bad player. You know, you watch him playing and the way he carries the ball, and also the other Maxime Medard on the wing, is also a very, very talented player. The French have not weakened their side by having these changes, but I think that what San Andrea has done is he's sent out a message. He's saying, like, enough is enough. We are a better side, and you know, you're reading reports in the papers where people are saying that the French are like circus clowns. They won't like that. They'll put in a performance, and they've got a very, very experienced front row: Thomas Domingo, Bryce Marsh in there, and Nicolas Mas. The French were, should we say, very disappointed in the game against Wales, particularly because of Alan Rowland's refereeing, it has to be said. And
Louis Picamole took a particular...
and that's the reason he's not in the side, isn't he?
No, as a result, his little chat didn't go down so well, did it?
Well, yeah, applauding the referee when he gets sin-binned is not a good idea. And I think that, you know, San Andre's actions in taking, in putting this ban on Picamole for this game is probably the right thing to do. But I've got to say that watching it, I also thought the referee was, should we say, slightly biased in favour of the men in red. Whether that was because Warren Gatland has been ripping him off a strip in the past, and this is the last game that Alan Rowland would be refereeing the Welsh, we will never know, will we? But I think that France will go out there to prove a point, and they will still see that they are in with a shot at this championship. If they can beat Scotland by a good score, then it will come down to these points, and we're still in that aspect of not knowing who is the side that's going to win. It will come down to that last weekend when France play against Ireland.
Yeah, I think momentum's kind of quite a fickle thing in these tournaments, but ever so important, and a big win up in Scotland perhaps could see it flow back the way of France after disappointment last week. I looked at the team on paper and have to think, obviously, a complete change in the back row. No Yannick Yanga, no Thierry Dussatois, and of course we mentioned Louis Picamole, who has been, rightly, in my opinion, been sidelined for his so-called disrespecting of the referee. But for you, there's no... Well, it might be a little bit tighter than it might have first seen, but you still think that France win this one comfortably. As a result, would you take France on the handicap? Minus 7.5 points would return a price of 5-6.
Ooh, what would it be with France on winning by 25 points?
Wow. Well, we can get into the alternative handicap markets, of which there are 10, and you can have France minus 23 points at 7-1, Jeff.
I'd put my 7-1 bet on there.
Wow, there's absolutely no love given for the Scottish here by Jeff in there.
I think, in all honesty, you know, you look at the power of the French front row, and, you know, the fact is that the Scottish front row are not that good. They've struggled a bit in all the games they've played. Mm. You then look at the centres. I know Johnson has called his centres world-class, but they're not world-class. They're still relatively new to international. Seymour and Dunbar are relatively... I'm going to talk about Dunbar and Scott are relatively new to Six Nations rugby and international rugby against the experience of a French side who will be playing for their pride, for the nation's pride, given what happened 2 weeks ago. So I think that we're going to see quite a few tries. I expect to see about 4 or 5 tries going in up in Scotland in that game, maybe a couple of Scottish ones in reply, but I still expect the French to get a good score.
Okay then, so a big handicap for you there, Jeff, and I think you make a good point there with the Scottish front row. Again, another change for them. Jeff Cross, the Edinburgh Tighthead, is a pick this week, who's been, you know, far from a regular in the international scene, a long way from a regular. It's a very intermittent appearances for Jeff Cross. We'll look at the try scorer markets again. We have got these fully priced up and live now. Again, the favourites fall the way of the men in blue, and we have Jan Huge is a 7-4 favourite. That's followed by Maxime Medard. Mathieu Bastereau is also 4-1, and then it's Bryce Doolan who is 4-1 along with Maxime Mermoz, bigger the rest, and obviously all available on request. And then on the other side, the Scottish favourite, Tommy Seymour, 7-2, Stuart Hogg, 4-1, and Sean Lamont, 4-1. Alex Dunbar, who touched down twice against the Italians, is 5-1. Anyone take your fancy from the ones that I've mentioned or anybody else on the field, Jeff?
Well, Yiguer has obviously got to be the guy to look at. He's been the informed winger in all the games he's played. He did get a try against the Welsh, which was disallowed. So, you know, but he did actually cross the line, carry the ball well. So you've got to look at him as being certainly up there as one of the guys. I think for the Scots, the only one I could see who could do that is Stuart Hogg. He's the outstanding player in the Scottish back line. His attacking play is very, very good. And he's brave. He'll give it a go. But then you look at the other players, and Medard is a guy who I'd put money on as well, as with his pace and skill. And from the centres, I wouldn't go off of Bastereau. I think players will play off of Bastereau rather than Bastereau scoring.
Okay then, so 7-4, Jan Huge, 2-1, Maxime Medard, and I think you're right, Stuart Hogg, he's kind of the only nailed-on world-class player Scotland have at the moment. We've seen flashes of good stuff from Alex Dunbar and others, but with regards to established world-class talent, Stuart Hogg probably the only one that you could really... say that Scotland have in their ranks at the moment is 4-1. So just to summarise, Jeff, you think it could be quite a one-sided affair up in Murrayfield?
I think it will be. I think if the Murrayfield pitch survives and we don't have another shambles like we did with the English, we can expect to see the French really put on the pressure. And even so, when you look at how the pitch performed with England, England still scored 20-odd points and could have scored another 10 or 15. So you've got to look at France in that sort of vein. You've got to see this as a game that France will see as an opportunity to score some points, put some points on the boards and get themselves back in the reckoning for the championship, bringing it all down to next week's final game against Ireland, who are also the big points carriers going forward.
So just to repeat the prices, then you got France minus 23 at 7-1, France minus 18 at 7-2 for the safer punter, and your try scoring selections, Jeff, were?
Hugo, for the French, as the number one try scorer, possibly Medard for the number two for the French, and Stuart Hogg for the Scots.
7-4, Jan Huge, 2-1, Maxime Medard, and 4-1, Stuart Hogg. Now we will move on to the final game of the weekend, and whilst we might have patriotic interest in this one, Jeff. I think it's fair to say it is the headline clash of the weekend, and that's reflected certainly in the betting. It's England versus Wales. England 4-7, the draw 20-1, and Wales 6-4. It's an interesting one, Jeff. The last three head-to-heads have all gone the way of the Welsh. There's 12 Lions starting in Warren Gatland's side. You know, in the last nine Six Nation games, the only defeat that England have suffered was that painful 30-3 defeat in Cardiff last week. But on the flip side of that, on 10 occasions, England have had a chance to win the Triple Crown on home Twickenham soil. On each occasion, they have done so. There's so many factors going into this one. How do you call it?
Well, there are always factors with England and Wales. I played against Welsh sides when England were the favourites and we've lost, and I played against Welsh sides when Wales were the favourites and we've won. So, you know, it's one of those games when you face the Welsh, you never know what it's going to be. The one thing about this Welsh side is that they haven't played well this season. And, you know, they may say it was turned around last time when they beat the French, but you look at the way that the Irish took them apart. You look at how Italy performed against them. Yes, there is a special relationship between the English and the Welsh when it comes to rugby. But the reality is that for whatever reason, the Welsh are not firing on all cylinders. And they had a lot of help from Alan Rowland 2 weeks ago, certainly in Sim Binning, both Geoffrey Jenkins and Nicholas Mass. Alan Rowland, although I think personally, I use this term, he took the coward's way out because he Sim Binned both props. He, instead of making a decision that one prop was deliberately collapsing the scrum or one prop was deliberately doing this, he Sim Binned both props. And that had a far worse effect on the French than it did on the Welsh. I would expect, and as you said, there are a lot of Lions in that Welsh side, but just because you're a Lion doesn't mean you're a great player. As much as it's a great privilege to play for the Lions, and I have actually done it, not everyone who is a Lion has been the greatest of players. Dare I mention the name Teapot from 1993. So from that point of view, what it comes down to is form at the moment. And I think that England's form, the game they played at Ireland, was so intense and so at such a level that if England repeat that level of performance and learn also from the Irish how they contain the Welsh attacking forces, the likes of George North, the likes of Jamie Roberts, I think Jonathan Davies coming back is a brave decision from Warren Gatland, because Davies has been out for a long time. And in the same vein, we have Tua Lange, who's come back, who's been out for roughly a similar sort of time as Davies, but Stuart Lancaster hasn't chose to bring him back. He's chosen to put him on the bench and still go with players that have been playing regularly and been involved in the Six Nations for the previous rounds. So in that sense, I think that England, playing at Twickenham, if they play with the intensity they played against Ireland, that this will be an England win. I think it'll be a close win. I think it'll be between 5 and 7 points, but I think it'll be an England win.
England minus 4 points and is 11-10, as I said, 4-7 on the outrights, but that minus four just about falls into your brackets of thinking. I think you make a personal point with Jonathan Davies being brought back, and of course we saw, following Scott Johnson's injury, George North been moved to the centre, and now Davies been brought back in with, I think, something like 100 minutes of rugby under his belt since he got injured against South Africa last year. Whereas on the flip side, that you mentioned, obviously Manu Tuilagi, who played a full 80 minutes for Leicester at the weekend against Newcastle Falcons, and he's not involved. I think it smacks a little bit of desperation, and dare I say that I think losing this game would be a bigger, not crisis, but a much bigger issue for the Welsh than it would for England. I think that England, you know, the favourites for this game, without the likes of Alex Corbisierra, without the likes of Dan Cole, Jeff Parling, Tom Croft, Manu Tuilagi, Marlon Jard, Christian Wade, all set to come back into the side.
Oh, good,
and
Jeff.
Yet they're still favourites, and maybe not quite peaked yet.
I must admit, I am surprised that the bookies have made England favourites. I am surprised because, you know, you look at the two teams, and although I've said I think England will win, you look at the two teams, and the Welsh have twice as many caps as the English side. They've got far more experience across the field than the English side. You know, England have still got a relatively new back three with Norrell, with Mike Brown, and with May playing. And, you know, we're on our third combination of midfield with Burrell and Twelvetrees. Yes, it's worked and they've played well. The England forwards have improved. We've heard a lot from Wallen Gatlin about the Welsh front row, and we've heard how great he is, the Three Lions. But actually, Geoffrey Jenkins was a Lion, but he wasn't a Lion in Australia. In the recent Lions tour, the front row was made up of two Englishmen and one Welshman and in the first two tests. And the Englishman who played in the third test was, in fact, the Lucien Corbisserio. Geoffrey Jenkins was playing in France in Toulon, and he couldn't get on the field. He wasn't playing. One of the reasons he got back to Cardiff was because he couldn't get on the field. The French team, Toulon, would not pick him as a player. They picked Andrew Sheridan.
I was going to say, sat behind Sheridan, wasn't he, on the bench for Toulon for the majority of last season?
That's right. So, you know, England will see Geoffrey Jenkins, as much as Gatland has made a point about the Welsh front row and everything like that, and he's doing that to try and convince the referee that if there is anything wrong, it will be the English fault. And, you know, we saw that, as I say, a little bit last 2 weeks ago with Mass and Geoffrey Jenkins. Geoffrey Jenkins has been yellow carded twice from front row in recent times from the front row for consistently collapsing the scrum. So David Wilson, although he's not as good as Dan Cole, will see Jenkins as a target worth attacking. And I would expect England to attack that area, Geoffrey Jenkins. Adam Jones is a very good prop, it has to be said. So young Marler's going to have his work cut out. He did get beaten up badly by Adam Jones last season. Hopefully he's learned his lessons and is far more stable. But if it does come down to penalties and the penalties go England's way, Owen Farrell can kick as well as Lee Halfpenny. So, you know. But I am surprised that the bookies have made England favourites. But what it says is, it says, if you like, the desperation that Wales are showing by bringing back Jonathan Davis, by, if you like, not having the confidence in the players that they've been running with.
Yeah, other factors sometimes go into the bookmaker's price. Of course, home field advantage will be there, and perhaps the patriotic pound. Just going back to the front row point, I think one thing that's been huge for England this year behind the front row is how good the second row combination has been. I thought Joe Launchbury was absolutely superb against the Irish, and his partner Courtney Lords, you know, we talked about Lions tour. Had the Lions been going on tour this summer, I think he would be one of the first names on the team sheet at the moment with the form he is in.
Well, I think both the England second rows would be on the team sheet for the Lions, and they are the form second rows in the Six Nations at the moment. The line-out skills of Launchbury, Courtney Laws as well, with the physicality, his tackling and his ball carrying. They're the standout second row pairing. And that includes Paul O'Connor in this in the Six Nations so far. So I don't think the Welsh second row and back row hold any threats for England. The front row is a slight threat with Adam Jones, who is the standout tight prop in the Six Nations. And Marler will have his work cut out, but if Marler and Hartley work together, they should be able to hold Jones long enough for England to hook the ball and get out in the backs. And I expect the backs to cope with the big runners like Roberts and George North quite well. It's what the Irish did, and if England take a lesson out of the Irish game and do a good kicking game and follow it up very well, Wales didn't seem to have any answer to it. And if England play that way, it will be a definite England win.
Mm. The form of the English second row certainly makes the return of Alan Wynne-Jones far less daunting. So England 4-7 to win, -4 on the handicap at 11-10. There's some other markets I think will make appeal for you, Jeff. England to win the game by between 1 and 12 points. Now that's priced up at 11-8. It surely, if England win, it won't be more than 12 points, no?
I wouldn't have thought so, but I think that England are very, very capable of winning this game, and it's got to be said that, as I say, Wales use the rush defence, which is the style of defence where it starts from the outside winger who comes up quickly and pushes in. That, if kicks are done well, and if Owen Farrell can get his kicking game well, is a game that is a dangerous game. If it works, it works very well. But if you get the ball in behind that defence, they've got to turn, they've got to go back. They are big men, the Welsh. It's hard for them to turn. England going forward like that, it's possible they could score a couple of tries and get beyond the 15 points. It's going to be a brave man that says they will. But I think that, I can see this game going into a 23-18 scoreline. Not big margins either way.
Okay, so in which case your 1 to 12 points would land there. An interesting stat that was pointed out to me on Twitter was that England have led Wales at home in 17 of their last 18 games at half-time. England to be leading the game when the referee blows for 40 minutes and the interval is 8-11. Is that something that would make an appeal?
I think that's worth a bet. You look at the way that England have started their games this season, and they've been outstanding, even in France. Despite the fact they were points behind within a couple of minutes in France, the fact was that England were dominating the territory and the possession. They've done that in all their games. If they do the same at Twickenham, they learnt a lot of lessons from that game in France, and they have started with a hiss and a roar. So, yeah, I think England will win the first 40.
Okay, Brian, 8-11 about that one. Jeff, I'll mention it just because we've had it in recent weeks, and I thought last week when Ireland were pressing with the score at 13-10 that it might have come by via, I don't know, a drop goal or a penalty kick. The draw is there at 20-1. Do you leave it this week? Are you that confident on the men in white?
I was with the draws last week, and hold up 2 weeks ago, hold my hand up, we got it wrong.
But very close, though.
We were only one score out, weren't we? We went for the double draw, didn't we? The Italians and the Irish and English, and we were one score out with both of them. But a draw would be a good bet.
It's there at 20-1, isn't it?
It's going to be a very, very close game on Sunday, and it's worth that dodgy tenner again.
Dodgy tenner's back out for the draw. We haven't got try scores priced up live, but if we're looking at try scores for this weekend, I think for me there's two that you'd want to be looking at straight away. First of all, Mike Brown, who's been, no tries before this tournament. Now he can't seem to stop, and it's hard to make a case against George North. You put him in the midfield, he still seems to be able to touch down. Is there anyone that you would fancy as a try scorer this weekend?
You've got to look at Burrell, who's scored two tries for England already, and is looking a very, very talented player. So I'd look at Burrell. I'd look at Brown, obviously. I'd look at Cuthbert. Everyone talks about George North, but in the games against England, it's Cuthbert that scored.
Yeah, terrorised in Cardiff last year, didn't he?
And so Alex Cuthbert's worth a look. But I think I'd look at the Alex Cuthbert, and I'd look at Burrell would be my two, if you like, first try scorers for each, one for each side.
Okay, no prices available yet about those two, but they will come live, I'd imagine, later in the day or perhaps on Saturday. Jeff, so just to sum up with your final bets for England versus Wales, please.
My final bets for England versus Wales is England to win by between 5 and, say, 7 points for England. I expect the try scorers, the score to be something like 23-18, something like that. And I'm expecting try scorers of Burrell for England, Cuthbert for Wales in their try-scoring side of things. It's going to be a very, very close game, and I'm going to stick the dodgy tenner on for the draw.
So there we go. Then England at 4-7. The -4 handicap at 11-10, maybe one that you look at or not. The winning margin live at 1-12 points is available at 11-8 also, and price is not available yet, but Luther Burrell and Alex Cuthbert as any time try scorers about sums it up, with perhaps a dodgy tenner place on the draw for a big return. Finally, Jeff, I just want to touch on the all-important thing. Who's going to win the tournament? These markets still available now, only 2 weeks to go, and it's very close. I think it's fair to say it is one of four sides, and I think if your predictions are on target, it's going to be one of two sides. Ireland are 11-8 favourites to lift the Six Nations trophy this year, and it's England at 13-8, second favourite. Wales 9-2, France 7-1, and the rest don't really matter.
Well, we started this Six Nations with Ireland as our
bid. We did at 6-1.
We did. We went back there, all the way back there, all those weeks ago. We said that we thought this would be Ireland's year. We said we didn't think there'd be a Grand Slam. There isn't going to be a Grand Slam. But we felt that the momentum and also the fixtures, the way the fixtures panned out, it would work for Ireland. So we still got to stick with it. You know, I said last week, 2 weeks ago, I said that I thought England would win it. I changed my focus. But no, I'll stick with the Irish. I think the Irish have got the momentum. They're going to have the points difference. And I think that's what's going to count.
Okay, fingers crossed people got involved in the first week when we first flagged that up at a big price. Ireland now 11-8 to win the tournament. Jeff, thank you very much for that. And, well, hopefully this time next week we'll have a clearer picture, and hopefully England will still be in the running to be the champions, although perhaps if you're betting and thinking with your pocket, the Irish will be also.
Well, I think it's going to be one hell of a weekend of rugby this weekend. There's still everything to play for.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.